Welcome to The Edges of Lean. I'm Bella Engelbach, and in this podcast, we explore the human and creative side of lean thinking, unusual places where lean thinking is practiced. We meet people who are practicing continuous improvement in many different flavors and styles. So come along with me on a journey to the edges of lean. Episode 2, Continuous Improvement for Kids.
Yes, so create a process that keep them in the childhood as late as possible. So when they come out, it finish with childhood.
That is awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about, if we're talking about creating value, I think if we're doing that at home with our kids, I mean, is there really a much better place you can be doing that?
That's Courageous Sacadogo and Sam Morgan. You know what I don't see much anymore? Kids out playing. Something has happened in the past couple of decades. Perhaps it is easy access to electronics or the growth of youth sports or parental fear driven by an overactive and lurid news cycle. But kids just don't seem to go out and play as much as they used to. A lot has been written about this, and the concept of the free-range kid, coined and popularized by the remarkable Lenore Skenazy, has worked its way into the vernacular. Parents, psychologists, and pediatricians are writing about the dangerous consequences of not letting kids engage in free play, get bored, make mistakes, and when appropriate for their age, do grown-up activities on their own, whether that is riding the subway, playing a pickup soccer game, or fixing their own breakfast. Students are arriving at college anxious and depressed, unable to deal with adversity, and unable to plan their own schedule. Most importantly, they are afraid of not being perfect and unused to dealing with adversity. Their collaboration skills, which should have been honed in the playground and park, are underdeveloped. And now with the coronavirus pandemic, many children have even fewer opportunities for unstructured interactions. What I'm curious about is what happens when those kids as young adults arrive in the workplace and their manager expects them to be part of continuously improving their organization. How will they react when they are asked to identify an issue and be part of the team that solves it? Will they be able to run an experiment that fails and study the result and plan the next experiment? How will their managers need to address these gaps? Well, I'm not in the business of raising children anymore, so I've invited two parents who are also continuous improvement leaders to discuss this topic with me. Welcome to The Edges of Lean, Courageous Sacadogo and Sam Morgan. And I want to be clear to our listeners that you are each parents to your own sets of children and don't share any kids in common. Sam is on the West Coast and Courageous is on the East Coast of the U.S. Let me introduce you. Courageous Lean Jersey started in the food production industry, project manager, and certified Lean Six Sigma Black Belt 5 years ago. She took on the big challenge of promoting Lean in West Africa. Busy mom, passionate of Lean, she's here today to share with us how she is bravely raising her kids the Lean way. Sam is an operations analyst at The Standard in Portland, Oregon, with a growing passion and experience for lean and continuous improvement over the last 2 years. His interest in lean is focused around respect for people by empowering and energizing them through problem solving and an increasing desire to coach. He's especially excited about his daily LinkedIn vlog called 90 Second Purpose, where he shares his purpose, intent, and action for the day, and reflects on the previous day's intent and action. also known as continuous improvement, also known as Kaizen, also known as PDCA, or Plan, Do, Check, Act. His latest project, also on LinkedIn, is called CI in 5, is a weekly feature where he invites lean professionals to sum up what continuous improvement means to them in 5 words or less, and in 5 minutes or less. Find Sam on LinkedIn and join him on his lean journey. Let's have a blast together. So, hey, Karija, let's start with you. Tell us about your children. How old are they?
Hey, Bella. Thank you for inviting us to your podcast. I'm honored to be here. And you're right, I'm a busy mom. I'm raising 4 kids, 12 years old, 9, 6, and 3. They've been all introduced to Lean already. And then my oldest is the Lean leader at the house. She made me promise to don't say her name because she doesn't want to be famous yet. So I have to keep her name secret.
Oh, that's great. That's great. She may be famous here, but she doesn't want to be.
Yeah.
Sam, so tell us about your kids.
Hi, Bella. Thanks for having me and Karija on again. My wife, Sydney, and I, we have 3 beautiful kids. One's 15, our daughter oldest. And then our middle daughter is 12. And then our youngest son is 9, will be 10 in November.
Wow. So we have quite the age span here between your oldest and Karija's youngest. All right. So Karija, you say that your daughter is the lean leader in the household. Tell me about that. What's she doing?
So she's a lean leader because she's oldest, first of all. And then she's able to understand better what lean is about. She's able to recognize some of the principles, some of the tool, and she's able to even give me advice on how we can apply it. So she's a lean leader because she knows more. And then she tried to guide the youngest one. So that's why I call her my lean leader at home.
Wow. So when you started teaching her lean, was that the same time that you started to learn it? Or did you wait?
It was at the same time. I mean, when I start practicing, then I was wondering how I can find more time at home. So for me, it was a way to bring her, to make her more responsible. Okay, so have her to help me while I needed more time. Going to school, working, taking care of them, so I had to manage my time efficiently. So that's when I started applying, and then she was introduced to the concept. So that's really when she started learning too about it.
Wow, Sam, tell me what have you brought from your work into your family life?
So I think the thing that I'm just beginning to realize more and more as I dive into lean, and I'm pretty new to the industry compared to lots of folks that I interact with either on LinkedIn or just in my daily work, is just this principle of being curious, and I was talking to Katie Anderson, who just put out a new book, and she wrote it with Sal Yoshino, who spent 40 years at Toyota, and 4 years, and he, synthesized all that down to the principle of learning, and you can't learn without being curious, really. And so I think that that's the one thing that I've always had from when I was a kid. My dad had kind of instilled that curiosity in me to be curious. Sometimes that can be in the form of asking a lot of questions, and that can be kind of annoying, I'm sure. But how I bring that home is just, wanting to encourage my kids to be curious, right? Wanting them to be okay with asking questions and wondering about things, because I think that that's where growth and improvement starts, is by asking questions of others and then asking questions of yourself. And so I think that, that's what I'm learning, not being afraid to ask those questions too, because I think we have a lot of, we've created a culture, especially in corporate America, of being afraid of asking questions. Oh, don't rock the boat. you know, but we can't grow and get better as people or as businesses unless we ask critical questions of processes or things that aren't working and wonder why they aren't working. And so the same thing, I love what Kari just said with her daughter. She's the expert, right? We talk about going and seeing and talking to the people who do the work. Her daughter is the one that's doing the work with her siblings. So why shouldn't she? Why wouldn't she go say, hey, you know, what's going on with your siblings? You know, tell me about what's this. Why aren't the dishes getting washed? Maybe there's something I'm missing here. You know, that kind of thing. So I think that those kind of things, being curious and asking questions, no matter what area, whether it's in corporate America or at home, is what I want to instill in my kids.
You know, I think that's interesting because that is a natural property that children have. You know, children are born to be curious and to investigate and to conduct experiments and try things out. And it's been my observation that in school and other places they go, a lot of that is discouraged because it takes up time and it makes messes and it can be difficult to handle, particularly when there's a lot of kids around. So Kharija, as you're thinking about what you've been doing with your children, where have you seen them try things and get them right the first time or not get them right first time? And how do you as a parent manage that?
So thanks for the question. I think my parenting style is very demanding, but also very supportive. So I try to be there all the time. And then it's about Kaizen, it's about helping them to everything, go to everything. Having goals and helping them, telling them that they can do it, motivate, making mistake and finding a different way to do it. So communicate, that's something that I use a lot. So they're free to say everything. We shouldn't have a secret. And then we shouldn't hide anything from each other. So the way we can help each other, we work as a team. So that's the mindset that we're trying to go through, or we're trying to work on the way we can try and experiment everything new. So reporting that to Lynn is creating a culture at home where everyone is involved, and the kids like to be involved. They like to be involved in everything, especially when it comes to making rules. They like that because when they do a rules, they're gonna follow the rules. So making change, they like that also. So they like to be involved, and I give them the opportunity to do. Although I have the final words in most cases, but I make them. I ask for their help, and then I give them the right to have a voice, in the right voice. I'm gonna say that way.
As the overall manager of the household, that's your job.
Yes.
Sam, what have you learned from your kids?
Well, I think, man, to be curious. I think that's just the theme for me is because I think it's easy to turn down that desire to be childlike, right? And we've like kind of articulated earlier, we get into that corporate job and we're like, oh, well, I can't ask the question, I can't experiment, I can't do, I can't fail. I think of a time when I was taking a walk with a coworker of mine who's a long time, like continuous improvement professional, someone who I look up to. And we were talking about a frustrating moment he was having with his kids, and they were struggling and acting out. And, you know, how was their how was this person's reaction to their kids? And he was just, I don't know what to do in this scenario. And I said, well, sounds like you're in the red and we need to think about, you know, countermeasures and things like that. So there's opportunities for looking at at Lean and being curious, right? So I guess, you know, are we becoming too analytical? Are we using all these tools? You know, we're doing 5S and we're doing A3s and stuff. Are we becoming too big for our own britches in terms of using these tools and not really bringing them into the world? So with somebody like that who's been around for so long, it's like, are you not being able to use those tools in your own life, you know? And so, yeah, I think just being curious and asking questions and wondering is something that, again, you know, I want to teach to my kids, and my kids, you know, they teach me about that and to just be playful. My middle daughter, she is, she's super creative. She watches shows, videos, and then she goes and she creates them with all the things she has, whether it's Legos, or she goes, finds a cardboard box, scraps of paper, and then just designs that in her own mind and creates her own story. So just that creativity piece too, is something like we talked about, you know, experimentation, that whole idea of like, oh, let me try this and just see how that works. Oh, that looks like that works. Oh no, that doesn't work. I'm just going to try something different and use this other piece over here. So to kind of your opening there, it's like cultivating that, curiosity and creativity and like, oh yeah, just, and really encouraging them when they do something like that. Cause I think that that's how we can continue. Like if we reinforce it, I liked what Kree just said there, you know, high support and high accountability, you know, like my wife who works in restorative justice, she that's one of the tools when she was working at a juvenile detention center and she was bringing restorative work versus punitive work. And she talked a lot about how we want to make sure we're providing our kids high accountability, which is what the punitive system does, criminal justice system. But a restorative justice mindset says we have high support and high accountability. And I think that lines up with Lean as well. You know, we need to have high support and high accountability. We empower our people, but we have to also say, you have an obstacle right there and you need help moving it. And to Kareja's point, you're the person who can move the obstacle for your kid. Oh, you need a new sprayer for the sink to do the dishes better? Oh, well, you probably don't have the $20 to go down to the store and get it, but I do. But they have to tell you that that's the obstacle. So anyway, there's a lot of different thoughts there, but I think that it's a great place to practice and learn and apply the tools that we talk about at our jobs every day.
You know, it occurs to me that as, you know, someone who has managed people and led people, that I often got a little bit confused about the similarities and differences between being a manager and being a parent. And there is some, you know, so there are some things actually, you know, that I think are important that managers do. I think managers really, a good manager does really care about the people who work for them. You know, is looking out for the, you know, for their best input, and is also, you know, keeping a look down the road and making sure that we're keeping an eye on where we need to go. I think with children though, when your own children, you get this wonderful opportunity also to fall in love with them, right? You know, you just absolutely passionately adore them. And then that also builds into, well, how do I treat them? How do I want them to, as I'm raising adults, you know, we talk about raising kids, but we're really raising adults. How do I love them in a way that brings them these capabilities? Which leads me to wonder, Kareja, what is your kid's favorite Lean tool or a Six Sigma tool? What do they like the most? You talked about setting goals and being part of the goal setting. What else do they like?
So I'm going to say standardization. I tried that. Rules first. So making rules, we have a problem. We all sit together. Okay, this is the problem. And how can we solve it? Then everybody come up with an idea. I even put on the young ones. They sometimes say that doesn't make, or say ideas that don't make real sense, but it's fine. They're trying. So we put on idea together and then we come up with a solution. So, okay, this is what we're going to try. Then we try the new rule, and when it works, we make it a standard for us. So is our family, Each family in the world is unique because of history, because of experience, because of tradition, because of culture, religion, all mixed together. So each family is unique. Each member of our family is unique, even though they share the same DNA. Mm-hmm. My kids are different, so they don't react the same thing. So putting that with an organization is the same. So in the professional world, we try to put together different personalities, backgrounds, culture, and we try to achieve the same goal. So it's the same thing. We have to deal the same way with everyone, so get everyone involved. So standard is what's going to bring us together. Standard is what's going to create the synergy. Standard is what we're going to agree on, even if we have different personality. So we build those standards together, and then we make it a standard for our family. Then the big rule here is we have to respect and enforce our standards, because we made it ourselves. We made them ourselves. In the same way, we have to respect other families' standards because they're different from us. So that's the idea I'm trying to make them understand. Aisha already, she's fine with it. She doesn't try to copy whatever is she see outside, because we are a family, we're different from anyone else. So, but we still have to respect other people. This is a tool for me that's powerful. And like you say, we're raising grown-ups. We're raising people that are going to, that will be working with other people that won't be the same like them. So they have to understand already that difference is a chance. Meeting someone that's different, that has different standards is good, because you can learn from somebody else. So all this is, for me, what brings us together is standards, the same way it does in any organization. So that's, for me, is a powerful rule. And that comes after we are able to create a lean culture where we feel welcome, where we welcome, where we care about each other, and then we take care of each other.
Wow, can I be adopted into your family, Karija?
Me too. We're both in. we're coming to your next team huddle.
It is hard, but it's worth it. I was raised from my parents divorced when I was very young, and I was raised for both at the same time. And they're from two different countries, so they were teaching me two different standards. And then you can get confused. So it's good to have a common one where the kids can know, okay, this is where I belong to. And that's what makes me belong to this family.
You know, and that is absolutely one of those baseline parenting rules, isn't it? Is that parents Yes. need to be on the same page and, enforcing the same standards and helping to build the same standards.
And that's lean.
And that's lean. Parenting has to be lean, right, if it's done well. Yeah.
Yes.
Sam, have you noticed you talked about encouraging curiosity. Have you noticed, as you are continuing to build your knowledge about continuous improvement, things that you want to incorporate in your parenting style?
Well, I think like all the tools, I kind of, my mindset is when I'm learning a new tool, like, visual management or something like that, I was learning about that, and there was this, my son loves Hot Wheel cars, just loves them, and would get them out in his playroom and watch his videos while he was doing it. And every night it would just be a struggle. He'd be like, he has, like, I don't know, whatever, 150, 200 cars and bins strewn all over, situation where you're walking in there, it's a landmine, you know, step on that Hot Wheel and so at the end of the night, he just didn't want to put them away. Like, how can I make this process easier? And I'm like, so our son is on the is high functioning autism. And so he works very well with standards, very like with a picture, do it this way. And I mean, I think it works well for anybody, but especially for someone that has his mindset. So I was like, how can we make this better? Let's try this. Let's set it up the way that we want it. You want to put it the future condition, ideal condition, however you want to put it. Take a picture of it. Here's the way the bins sit. Here's the way the track sits. And so took a picture of that and then set it up right above the area. And I was like, all right, Jude, this is how we want it to look. Every night since then, that was 4 months ago, it's been set up that way. We just say, Jude, it's time to match. Some nights he'll do it. Other times I have to tell him. And of course, because he's 9, every once in a while he has a little rough time, but we're now at 100%, you know, rate of getting that put away correctly every night. So that whole principle of like, you know, that I would never have thought about that if it weren't for, you know, seeing videos like Paul Akers and 2 Second Lean and just taking these, you know, principles and bringing it home. I'm like, oh yeah, that could make life easier for all of us. You've got the laundry. The dryer setup, he was asking us every single time, like, what cycle do I set it at? And I was like, how do I make this easier so you don't come ask dad every time? And then there's an element of empowerment as well. Oh, let's stick we have little glittery stickers with the initial of his first name, you know, and we stick them on the different areas. And so he just turns the knob, pushes go, no more. So things like that, it's like, how can I incorporate more of those type of things into my parenting, into my, you know, into the way we run our home, do our finances, or just anything else at home. Because there's infinite amount of opportunities. I'm taking notes with what Kari just said. Let me tell you, because like standardization, holy heck, man, we are nowhere near standardization up in here. So I've got some work to do, and I'm learning right here along with everybody else. As well, from what Kreeja is sharing. And so, it's good stuff.
Yeah, me too. I'm thinking, and I don't really want to go back and raise my kids again, but I wouldn't mind having actually both of you to be parenting coaches. One of the things that I've observed, I have grandkids now, which is great. And one of the things I've observed with my grandchildren, especially my granddaughter, who's she's similar age to some of your kids, is that she has sort of been trained, I think, in school with this idea of perfectionism, which has gotten to the point where suddenly she doesn't want to try things because she knows she's not going to be perfect at it the first time. And she has really benefited a lot from the type of coaching, which is about, let's break it down into little tiny pieces and just practice one little piece at a time. And before she knows it, she looks back and she's learned to do something that she has not previously been able to do. And I have actually found observing that process with her at my age to be helpful for me. So to be able to say, all right, well, here's this thing I know that I don't know how to do. Well, let me be like her. Let me break it down into small pieces and experiment with each of the small pieces. And again, before you know it, you look back and you've done it. That's really cool. But we have visual management in our home. We have a calendar on a whiteboard in the kitchen that's been there for years. It's one of the first sort of lean things I did in the house. My husband will not do something if it's not on the calendar. He says, if it's not on the calendar, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, okay.
To keep that accountability.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to talk with both of you about, this is the week the amazing Root Cause Racism project is happening, spearheaded by DeAndre Wardell and Mark Graven. And since you are both raising Black kids in a country that is experiencing a lot of racial turmoil, I'd just like to just turn to that for a moment. And Sam, this was something that you had brought up with me, I think several weeks ago, when you had talked about the difficulty of raising young men who are going to grow up to be young Black men or biracial men, and the concerns that you had about them. I just would like to give you both a chance to talk about what you're feeling right now, what gives you hope, and what could we all be doing better?
Karija, I'd love to hear what you've got. A lot. You've got a lot
of... No, not really. So I'm going to say, I try to teach my kids that because all lives matter, then Black lives should matter. So the thing is, they should see more than skin colors. They should be able to respect everyone that they will see meeting the world at school, at the workplace, in the store, everywhere. They have to give respect. So respect is the most important. And respect is even the one of the most important aspect of the lean culture and the Toyota production system success. So I try to teach them that giving respect to everyone, regardless the difference. And then on the other side, they have to be able to make the difference between what is fair and unfair, what is normal and what is not, and they should be able to speak up for themselves, because being silent is not an option. Even if it's you or somebody else, you know, you can be silenced as long as you see it. If you don't speak, then you are guilty. So we have to balance both sides, respect and speak up. Now, you can be right, but you have to find the right way to say it so you can solve the real problem. Just don't talk to talk. Find what's the real problem and then talk the way you can solve it. So that's the idea. That's how I want them to face this world that's now so, where we see so much violence, so much war. We see everything that shouldn't be in the world, all kind of fears. So I want them to be able to balance those two sides. And how I'm going to do it? Well, I'm using lean. The reason is raising kids is a process, for sure. It's a lifetime process. The outcome won't be perfect, because we in Lean Six Sigma, you will never get the perfect kids. But what is our responsibility as parents is to be able to reduce the variation of the outputs. So we have to put everything we can so we don't go too far from perfection. So I try every day. It's a lifetime battle. It's a full-time work. You have to correct, redo, like I was saying to Sam, you have to redo the process, change, adjust, and then you have to be on it every time. So like Bella was saying, we're raising grown-ups. My hope is, like, everybody understand the culture, the lean thinking process, and how it can help more than doing more than in organization, but in personal life, and then help promote those human and social values that we're losing. And then the pandemic is not helping either. Mm-hmm. So we have to go back to live together and be kind to each other.
Yeah. Well said. Sam, how about you? How are you feeling right now?
Oh, man. I mean, this, the last couple of years for me, to be quite truthful, has been a journey for me, just personally as a white man, being married to a Black woman. You know, I think in my mind, I thought I was so, I was so there and I understood and I was on board with all that was going on. But that really was the opportunity for me not to be aware and just kind of be in my own world, because I don't experience the things that Khadija experiences or her kids or my wife or even my kids. I have the ability to, you know, I don't have to worry about it. In fact, she, when we were in the middle of just right after the word about George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery, all those things were happening, we were on a walk and she was just, she didn't have any words. She was just so drained from all of it. But a couple of short years ago, you know, we were having a conversation and she was talking about how, you know, we were talking about all the work that she was doing. And she does work in restorative justice and diversity, equity, inclusion. And I was like, you know, I'm on board with you. And she's like, well, but it's got to be about where you are on your journey, your heart and your place has to be there. And so that was really a turning point for me. I'm like, yeah, I need to get there and work my own journey. So over the last couple of years, I've kind of grown and then seen that. And then as I go to work now, I've seen places where there's inequity. And then giving it a frame, like if we look at the target condition and the current condition, like, hey, the target would be to have a certain number of representation. And if I think about, hey, my kids, my son, Judah, so smart and beautiful and amazing. And if he were to come and apply for a position, would he be given the opportunity, you know, because of what he looks like and how he reacts, but he's just so sharp and so smart and beautiful. Like, would he be given that opportunity? And is there something I can do as a white man? Can I do something? I work for a very large company here in Portland. Is there something I can do at my level to influence and change that? And I think, you know, Lean is about, you know, setting up systems and processes to call out problems like that and go, hey, we've got an issue here, you know, and what are we going to do about it? Like, if we really say we want to be about this and we really say we're a lean culture, we respect people and we see this, why aren't we doing something about it? We're in the red over here. Here's our target. Here's our current. Here's the gap. What are we doing to change that gap? Because really this gap isn't about numbers. It's about people. It's about people like my son and my kids and courageous kids and kids out there. And what are we doing to close that gap? We're humans and we care and we should be taking steps. And that's why this series, Root Cause Racism, that Deandra and you, Bella, and other women are just amazing. I'm just, whew, like learning so much great stuff about health system and education system. And so I just encourage people, go check that out. You know, Root Cause Racism on the Lean blog, it's amazing. And it's something that we can all, especially men, white men and white people, we can learn so much from. We've got so much opportunity. I'm learning to change my vernacular from, you know, oh God, there's so much to, it's like, it's an opportunity for us to step in and do something awesome. And like you said, I love what you said, Bella, too. And I think that this can help in this time. One step at a time, like one, we don't have to get to that future condition where we want to be like Khadija. Like we want to be in a place where there's, you know, where people are, we're seen and respected and all of our cultures are seen that same way. We're not there, but what's one step we can do? What's one little thing we can do every day? And I love this series and this conversation and you know, so yeah, it's something that we gotta work on every day, one little bit at a time. And that's continuous improvement. That's
the it is continuous improvement.
Yeah, and it's for the kids, right? That's the thing that is the most important about it. It's your kids, it's Sam's kids, Khadija's kids, and the kids down the street from me who I know are two little beautiful boys live down the street from me, and you know, they're going to grow up to be big black men, and then I know that they're going to have, or they may have a hard time. And then, you know, what can we all do to make sure that that is not happening? And I love what you said, Sam, about let's do the small things, because if we keep doing small things, they're going to add up. And we know from continuous improvement, that's how that works, right? You keep doing the small things, particularly if the small things are aligned in a certain direction. So just to wrap up, I'd like to just, first of all, thank you both for sharing your time with me and your words of wisdom and a little bit about the lives in your families. It's very generous of you. I also want to thank you for your honesty and your willingness to share some things that are quite personal. And to just finally wrap up, I'd like to give each of you, Sam Morgan and Karija Sakanogo, a chance to say, if you saw, you know, some parents in the park tomorrow having a hard time, what would be the one thing that you would say to them, that one small thing to help them get through the day and start to create more of that lean world?
We can create a better world if we give the chance to our kids to do it by helping them learn how they can do it. So we have the responsibility today, with everything going on, to show them what's the right thing. And then we won't have to worry too much about the future. We have to deal with the present, and they will take care of the future for us.
Well, thank you. Sam?
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I would just echo that and then add, you know, be present in the moment and be brave. I think for me, especially more recently in my career and personally, like just taking the step, you look over the edge as a parent or as a professional and you go, you know, but being brave and taking that step, because it looks like you're going to fall over the edge, but really, like we talked about, it's just an experiment, you know. And I'm talking to myself right now because I'm a perfectionist and I want to get it perfect the next time, but we just need to try. You know, Karen Ross is just like, practice, just do the next step, just do the next thing. And I think for me, just encouraging them to just try something. But the same thing isn't an option, trying something, even if it's scary. And that's what your kids are going to see. That's what I want my kids to see, is a dad who was brave. I mean, he's not going to be perfect. Like, I think I'm working my place to the point of that. But being brave, and then our kids can look at us and go, wow, my parents are badasses. And that's what I want to be. That's not a lean term, by the way.
I know.
My target condition is to be a badass dad.
That's fantastic. I think you are well on the way to that goal. All right. Well, thank you both. I really appreciate, again, your time and your generosity.
Thank you, Bella.
Bella. Thanks, Karija.
Thank you. This is Bella Engelbach, and I'd like to thank Karija Sakanogo and Sam Morgan for being my guests on The Edges of Lean. To learn more about root cause racism, go to leanblog.org/RCR. Please join me in exploring more of The Edges of Lean. There's a lot to learn. The Edges of Lean is written and produced by Bella Engelbach. This is a Lean for Humans production.